This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
When you lose players of that caliber, they're not easy to replace.
I can't control it! 0-9-0-20
goes down! Voodoo one, what's been hit?
Having said that, we have capable people. We have a lot of depth at all the positions. It's going to provide opportunities for others to step up.
Watch Maverick on alert 5.
Maverick's airborne.
Thompson moving tonight. He's got two. Scores! He's got three! Hat trick for Tage Thompson! Tage Thompson works it around Swartz, high slot, holds it, Rister scores! Tage Thompson!
Flipped up, here's a breakaway, Tage Thompson, in on and on, Thompson scores!
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Sabres, WGR Sports Radio 550.
It's fun to dream that Operation Tage might get activated tonight. Long shot to play, but joining the team in Boston. Not a lot of practice.
I think it's a good sign for his Olympic candidacy for next year.
That he's like first man up?
Yeah, that like the first guy they called up as a forward was him.
Yeah. Who else would it have been?
It could have been Cole Caulfield.
All right. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. The Confrontation to Nations wraps up tonight. U.S. and Canada. The final game, not quite a gold medal game, but whatever. Tonight, 8 o'clock, we're excited for it. Tage has joined Team USA. In the event that enough players are sick and they're below the roster limit, then Tage can go in. If it's a defenseman, it's Brett Pesce. He's joined the team the same way.
I was wondering if there was a backdoor way they could get Quinn Hughes in, which is, oh, he's going to play forward tonight, guys. Like, they're going to tell the league, like, no, he's our forward. Yeah. And then when the game starts, he's playing on the blue line.
Sure, why not?
Why couldn't they have done that? That's something like I would do in like a fantasy league. Would I do that in like...
That's how you got the name Sneaky Joe.
Yeah. No, yeah. I would say I'm going to play Quinn Hughes. Right. He's going to be a forward. And then what are you going to do? Well, you're going to cancel the game if you see him playing on the blue line. That's another thing. They could have just done it, right? What would have happened? If Quinn Hughes just showed up tonight, were they going to stop the game?
You get stripped of the trophy 2 years later.
Okay. The trophy that I'm still not even sure what it looks like.
803-0550, our number, on the Four Nations, if you want it. We're going to shift gears. Some football. We have news about the salary cap and Tyler Dunn. GoLongTD.com joining us on the Western Hotline, front of the show. Tyler, you watching this hockey game tonight? I know you're a football guy, but you putting on your American flag and singing Freebird or what?
Hell yeah, absolutely. I'll just talk, U.S. Canada hockey, if you guys want, because what a great opportunity to put Canada in their place. I'm sure there's nobody from Canada listening right now, so we can talk all kinds of smack. That was great. You're going to blow our anthem. We're going to kick the snot out of you. That was some of the best 3 seconds of sports that you'll get. So, yeah, been planning for this one. Going to meet up with some buddies. 9/11 Tavern there in South Buffalo. Pound some wings. Watch some hockey. It just kind of came out of nowhere. It was like a gift from the from the sports gods to everybody in Western New York and beyond, as unless you prefer the NBA All-Star game, which if that person exists, we can probably shoot that person to Mars. This is amazing.
Yeah, it has been a nice little gift here. Mid-February, this is, you know, franchise tag window opens season and stuff like that, which we're going to get to. And the salary cap is announced. You know, not exactly the sexiest television, but tonight we get a grade A event in U.S. Canada in the finals. So excited for it. 8 o'clock tonight from Boston. Well, Tyler, we haven't talked in a couple weeks, and we might have checked in after the season ended and the end of season pressers, and you've just written a piece at GoLongTD.com, kind of a look back and look ahead. Where are the Bills now? And I want to start you off with, and I'll mention this to Joe and everybody out there listening, because we haven't got this yet, because it was pointed out to me that Josh Allen's age, it's not exactly a problem, but I feel like it's the kind of thing that should now enter our every time we talk about the Bills window, we should talk about his age, because he's the third oldest quarterback in the AFC right now.
Wow.
Yeah. How about that? He's the third oldest quarterback among starters in the AFC.
I don't like how that news
it's
has hit me.
Richardson, May, Stroud, Nix, Lawrence. Right. You've got a guy that's a veteran now.
Who are the older ones?
Rodgers. Mahomes is an earlier draft year. It's Mahomes and Burrow who are older. And then there are other starters that are going to slot in.
Yeah.
Rodgers. Maybe Stafford comes to the AFC. But the point is right now, it's Mahomes 30, Burrow 29, Allen 29. Third oldest in the AFC. So, Tyler, I kind of want you to take that and run with it. Do with it what you will when it comes to what you wrote about the Bills and the window and how they should be treating it right now.
Sure, Jeremy. I feel like that's kind of what made that such a crushing loss at Arrowhead, because the stars were aligned. I mean, you're healthy. I mean, Josh Allen has started, what, 117 straight games? Is that what it's at right now? Well, with the playoffs included, he's been unbelievably healthy. The offensive line, you just had Spencer Brown missing that one game. They gave up the least amount of sacks in the NFL and helped this team kind of evolve. It's ethos on offense. They can beat you up physically, and they stayed healthy. You kind of caught that break in that game. Mahomes, with that fumble, his first turnover in, what, like 83 drives, an NFL record. Things kind of broke beautifully for you if you're the Bills, and it still ended in defeat. So I think that's what kind of stinks. Now, where do you go from here? I think it's probably time to turn the page. I know Brandon Bean said nobody was sleeping that well, 48 hours after that game. But if you're going to turn the page, I think, and this is all up at GoLongTD.com for those who want to check it out, kind of a smorgasbord, a bunch of different items. I don't know if big game hunting is the way to go. Like, I hear the fans, like, yeah, F them picks, less knee, give up three firsts for Myles Garrett. I don't think that's going to happen, but I think where Bean and McDermott need to evolve, at least this time of year, is opening your mind up to a different type of player on draft day. And I was down there in New Orleans all week talking to the Eagles, the Chiefs, and especially those Eagles. I mean, Howie Roseman, you know, taking a beer can to the face there at the parade, he's been unafraid to gamble. And, you know, Jalen Carter, first overall talent, you take him at number 9. C.J. Gardner-Johnson, you know, voted the most annoying player in the league in a landslide. He brings him in twice. And I get it. Like, the vibes are great in Buffalo. I'm not diminishing that. It's real to have those strong bonds. At the same time, when you have those strong bonds, I feel like you can kind of bring in a potentially volatile element to what Bean calls the great chemistry experiment and take a chance, because you're not going to get a Chris Jones in free agency, right? Like Bean said himself, that player is just not going to become available. But at the end of the first round, early second, somebody could trickle down, and you've got to take that chance. They just have not taken that risk on character. It's time.
Yeah. The idea that I don't remember, but you wrote about this, how Chris Jones, there were some concerns about character, and, you know, Jalen Carter is this, and if it's Jordan Davis or whoever, you know, you basically the idea is the Bills have been maybe a little too married to the idea that everyone has to get along. That was very much a success of theirs this year, that did happen.
Right, and I do, Tyler, to add in, I remember Bean once upon a time, maybe this is 3 years ago, saying we don't just want choir boys. Like, he didn't necessarily like the idea that, you know, they wouldn't take risks on guys like that, but really the proof's in the pudding. Like, to your point, I can't really think of a time where they've really you know, taking a big swing, well, a big risk like that.
If I could jump in on this, like the name that comes to mind, obviously, is Diggs. It doesn't even have to be a person has a checkered background. It's someone that makes other people uncomfortable sometimes because of the way they play or whatever it might be. Like, Tyler, you wrote in your piece, football's a violent game played by violent men. The idea is you need people that are going to grind and force others to be better.
Yeah. Totally. I mean, I feel like when you're sitting down with these players in Indianapolis at the combine, it's going to be important to remember you're not hiring somebody for a 9-to-5 office job. I mean, you're hiring somebody to legally whoop somebody's behind. Like, that is what you do. Look what the Eagles did. One-on-one, there was nothing exotic, nothing fancy to what Vic Fangio did. They didn't blitz one time, but they just beat up the Chiefs. And you've seen it time in and time out. Like, yeah, I'm guilty of it too. We kind of build up Patrick Mahomes to be a god, right, who doesn't bleed. Well, these guys do bleed. Peyton Manning against Seattle. I mean, Tom Brady against the Giants. You got a D-line that can get after it. Yeah, you can win. It doesn't have to be a calamity where you're giving up 30-plus points against the Chiefs every time in the playoffs, but you've got to take a chance. And I feel like that's a great point. Like, they have taken some. I mean, it was ugly for Diggs in Minnesota, and credit to the Bills. Like, they were willing to take that swing, and we've talked about it, Jeremy. Like, I get it. Like, everyone eats, and everybody is loving each other. That stuff matters. Josh Allen did win the MVP, for crying out loud. Like, it's 30 rushing touchdowns, 30 passing. Like, there's a lot of good on offensively post-Diggs. But that shouldn't, like, make you afraid to take another chance because it ended poorly with Stephon Diggs, and whether it's a D lineman, whether it's a receiver, I do think Bean gets it too. I mean, we've talked about it. I think he gets it. You do have to kind of take a chance on some nitrogen from time to time.
Do you think that's just the draft, or do you think that could extend for them into, you know, you mentioned Garrett, like, they could extend, not that he's this, but it could extend to trade pieces and, you know, free agency pieces. Like, I'll mention there was one listener mentioned, like, hey, what about George Pickens? And that's, like, maybe all the way in that direction because of, like, some of the sideshow stuff that he has. And my first thought is, like, oh, no, just no chance. No chance they would ever gamble on a guy like that. But maybe not even with a veteran player?
Why not, man? Like, look, and I get it. It's a risk. It might not work out. You might have to move on. But Kyrie Elam was a risk in the first round, and he can't even get on the field. And when he does, it's humiliation. I mean, Amari Cooper, you trade for him, and Kelvin Benjamin way back in the day. I mean, it's not apples and apples, but both trades didn't really work out. And you know, Cooper did some good things, and I guess Bean had the stat on his presence, leading to what, 7 or 8 more points, whatever it was. I don't know. That wasn't what they were hoping for when they traded for Amari Cooper. So it can not work out when you're drafting or trading for somebody who, you know, isn't that quote-unquote character risk, quote-unquote headache, whatever it is. We know George Pickens is an insane talent, and you know you have a strong locker room. I like that. Why not, right? I mean, I don't know what it would cost. I mean, there's all kinds of variables that go into it, but if it's reasonable and he's in a position where he has to prove himself to make millions of dollars, I mean, there's an incentive right there for him to lock in and you know, become one with the locker room.
Tyler Dunn joining us on the Western Hotline on the Bills here. He's got a piece up there, Look Ahead, What Now, at GoLongTD.com. Tyler, thinking about McDermott, you know, you, of course, had the piece years ago about McDermott and then have spoken to him since. One of the things you write about in this latest update is that you do feel like that the changes he set out to make, that he did make in the way he leads this team.
Definitely. I mean, look, we can criticize his defense, and I thought it was strange to kind of gently steer all of our attention to the offense on the first answer at his press conference when, I mean, I don't really know what else Josh Allen can do in these games. But look, there's a ton of positive to take away from last season when it comes to Sean McDermott. I mean, back in that series that you referenced, December 2023, Sam Easton, I mean, these are players, these are coaches, these are front office people, referring to him as tight, as a robot, saying in so many ways it manifests to the field. The way he is day to day, that's why we get tight. That's why it's gloom and doom. There's dread. What's going to happen next? What's going to go wrong next? And that was the big change that they believed Sean McDermott needed to make as the head coach. All teams are going to in some way somehow become a reflection of their coach. And yeah, we sat down ahead of the playoffs, and then he got into some of the same stuff at his press conference I think he genuinely has taken that important step back and realizes he's got Josh Allen, he's got some leaders, the locker room can run itself, and he just kind of has to be whatever his players need to be on a day-to-day basis. You know, behind the scenes, there's no need to be a micromanager and no need to be militaristic. Like, this is a team that's a contender every year. And then on the field, go for it. Fourth down, you've got the best player in the world. Give him a shot. Like, let him go for it. And that kind of stuff over time, I think, embeds into the mentality of an entire team. He brings up, letting Tyler Bass attempt that 61-yarder against Miami. The same game he misses an extra point. That's a great example. That game, we're all wondering if Tyler Bass is going to be on the team 48 hours later. And he lets him attempt a 61-yarder. Football is such a human game. And I thought that Bean did a great job psychologically. We'll see how it all pans out. But he's not afraid of the Chiefs. Hey, he's going to trade with them. He's going to build the team in his vision. I think that's kind of how you have to be. You can't be afraid of anything. And McDermott kind of took that baton and coached differently this past year. And I think he was really – the first thing he said when we sat down was, I don't want this to be a story of I'm one person, something comes out, and then I become something else. And then in so many different ways explained how he has evolved. And I think that even he knows he's not doing snow angels on the field with his quarterback years past.
Tyler Dunn with us on the Wester Hotline. Tyler, you also wrote about the last couple of top picks, not first round pick, but Kincaid and Coleman. And for Bean to kind of say, I didn't like what Coleman kind of gave them when they came back. It's not exactly how he put it, but they're disappointed in what he did when he came back from injury, but he had never done it before. I think it was a little bit telling, but I don't know. For you, how much do you think they'll trust, you know, both of those guys, but especially Coleman, to kind of take big steps in their in next season?
This is about as crucial of an offseason as it gets for anybody on the team. Keon Coleman, Dalton Kincaid, I mean, these are premium picks. I still would be surprised if they did anything too bold and brash, you know, trade-wise, free agency-wise. Like, they need these players to ascend and become go-to featured weapons on 3rd and 8 with a game on the line. That's why you drafted them, right? Like, and I'm so trained, like, out in Green Bay covering the Packers all those years. Now, Ted Thompson's the GM, and he would not say anything, like, absolutely nothing at all. It became a joke. I remember 1 year at the Combine, he's like, you know, I could stand up here and go full Costanza and be, like, opposite George and say all these honest things. He goes, but then is it a fake? Is it a fake on a fake? And how are other GMs talking? So he just doesn't say anything. He doesn't say anything at all, so it's refreshing to hear a Brandon Bean get up there. And now he said complimentary things about both of those players, but I interpret it as a challenge to Keon Coleman. Like, yeah, we were really disappointed in you, in so many words. You weren't physical enough. You weren't tough enough. You got to mature. And you watched these Bills games, and he was a different player. Where was the guy in Seattle just punking people in the run game, in the pass game? That player just disappeared. Dalton Kincaid had the PCL, so it's a little different situation, but, I mean, they expected a lot more out of him. This time last year, we're talking about him being a featured weapon, especially post-Diggs. So I like the fact that the GM is just being honest. I mean, it's nothing that he didn't say to these guys personally, and they're going to need these players to produce. And I hate bringing it all back to Chiefs, but that's the team that you got to get past. And look at these drafts. I mean, you get Kyrie Elam the year they get Trent McDuffie, and then you take Dalton Kincaid, and they get Rashee Rice later in that second round, which, by the way, yes, off-field issues. And then the Xavier Worthy, Keon Coleman debate. So, you know, there's some separation there. As amazing as these mid-round picks have been for Buffalo, and I think that being in the front office has really done a great job, that part of the draft. Winning championships is about nailing that first round.
Tyler Dunn on the Western Highland. Tyler, what do you got coming up for the next couple of weeks, couple of months, as we dig into the draft?
Absolutely, Jeremy. Yeah, a ton going on. I mean, I thank you, first of all, to everybody out there who reads GoAlongT.com, subscribes. I mean, Western New Yorkers have been awesome since I launched this thing. So this time of year is just great to work the phones, travel all over the country, sit down with people at length. During the season, you kind of become a creature of habit, Monday through Sunday. But now it's a really good time to spend some weeks working on bigger stories. So kind of planting the seeds on a bunch of different stuff.
Are you waiting to see where Aaron Rodgers lands?
Oh, on bated breath. I can't tell you how excited I am to see where Aaron Rodgers go. I'm just waiting to click purchase on that new. Seriously, who in the hell will want him? I don't think anybody wants. I don't think he goes anywhere. I think nobody wants him and he retires.
I the only team that I feel like I'm wondering about is if Pittsburgh has no other move. And like there seems to be this bromance, weirdly, between Tomlin and Rodgers.
Maybe, you know, I know you're referencing, like, they gave each other a little wink and a nod during a game.
That's really all it is, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, Tomlin's not an idiot, though. I think he'd rather have a Daniel Jones than Aaron Rodgers at this point.
Yeah, that might really happen. You mentioned, like, he might retire because nobody wants him. That's getting Belichicked these days, right? Like, it might happen to Rodgers. Tyler, thank you, and let me know when you find out who's going to play quarterback for Syracuse this year. We're gonna find.
Absolutely, that's the bigger question. Thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Tyler. Tyler Dunn, golongtd.com. Subscribe to his Substack, bunch of great stuff. The Zoom calls, the happy hours, the conversations. I watched the big thing with Jim Monos that he did talking about the state of the Bills. It's good stuff. So on the Bills and the salary cap, and we're gonna get to Jamar Chase getting $40 million. I was just doing some math on what happens if Jamar Chase gets $40 million a year. Remember, the cap is going up $22 million. It's gone up $53 million in 2 years. That's a Jalen Hurts.
Yeah.
That's how much the cap goes up in just 2 years. So this is not a huge year for signing receivers. It's Chase and Higgins, maybe. It's Godwin. It's who's due for extensions.
McLaurin will get an extension.
Okay. Watch McLaurin get $30 million. Because that's how it probably goes.
I was going to say 30 didn't even sound like a lot to me when you just said that.
Well, the cap going up.
The Chase 40 number is in my head right now also.
So to put context on it, Justin Jefferson, I was just looking this up at SpotTrack just a moment ago. Justin Jefferson makes the highest percentage of the team cap. That's the thing to look for, okay? Mm-hmm. And the cap was just reported to be what number? $280 million?
Yeah, something like that.
$285 million. So percentage of cap is what really matters, so you don't get sticker shock. Prepare yourself for the sticker shock of the salary cap, because when it goes up every year, you start asking yourself, holy cow, how could these guys make this much money?
Yeah.
Can you find it for me real quick? I thought I had it in my view. It's expected to go to 288, because I'm just going to quickly do the math here on exactly what this is. Yes, all right, here we go. I got it. It is expected to go to 281.5, somewhere between 277 and 281. So
yeah,
280 was the number. If he gets the deal that Jefferson got, which is 13.2% of the team's cap, then that number, just based on the rising cap, the nature of the rising cap, 13.7%. So Jefferson got 13.7%. If Chase gets just that number, that amounts to $38 million a year.
Okay.
The same deal Jefferson got a year ago is now $38
million. Yep.
So if he gets 40, it's like a small raise.
It's barely a raise. Hardly a raise.
It's just the passage of time. So I'm ready for everyone to freak out about $40 million for a receiver. But he's most definitely worth it. Question is, will Cincinnati, get it done this offseason? Will they make him go to a franchise tag?
Yeah.
Think about how much money you save on the franchise tag with receivers right now. If you have Chase, the franchise tag is 26.
Yeah. You're saying they would tag Chase, though?
I hope not. But, you just never know.
He doesn't seem like somebody that would play on the tag. Yeah, I mean, he hardly played on his contract last year, right? He did a hold in.
Yeah. 803-0550. The cap and what it means, and lessons from the Eagles, the real lessons from the Eagles. I saw more on this yesterday and want to really dig into what the Bills should be doing here with the third oldest quarterback in the AFC. Saying it that way hit you. I saw it hit you.
It hit me.
It hit you. 803-0550 to join us. 1-888-552-550 in WGR.
I don't expect us to be big spenders in free agency or anything like that. We still have to manage this cap because we're not going to try and set this thing up to go into a year where we got to strip it all down while we got number 17. We want to give him every chance every single year to see if that team can contend for a title.
Bills GM Brandon Bean The cap is a goofy thing, but I'm ready to say that that is not the energy the Bills should have right now. We never want to get to a year where we have to strip it down. You might never have to do that. I want to read you something from Brett Coleman of NFL writer, the Bootleg Podcast. He does great work for the Film Room on YouTube, Bootleg Football, Underdog Fantasy. On the Eagles, there's a lot about the Eagles model, right? Yeah. Get there with four. The Eagles, by the way, have three free agents. The top three free agents that are hitting the market defensively. The top three are Eagles players. It's wild.
Josh Sweat, Milton Williams,
and Zach Bond.
Zach Bond, yeah. The linebacker.
CBS Sports has saw a ranking of the top 25 defensive free agents. I want the Bills to sign six of these players. And three were Eagles. Anyway, yeah. Brett Coleman writes this about the Eagles and their cap. And I'm not trying to get too weighed down here on salary cap stuff, but I think that the Bills need to ditch this idea that they're going to get into trouble.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The march to spring training and opening day is upon us. Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring here, and we'll have you covered every single day with podcasts that aim to educate, entertain, and inform you as a baseball fan. Follow Baseballs and Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
If they sign too many players, and it might require ownership to pay more money and give more money right away. Here's what Brett Coleman wrote about the Eagles, because he pointed out, first off, like, this is a little bit of the business side of the NFL. So give me a minute on this, and if you want to give a call, that'd be great. Just a general point. We mentioned yesterday that the salary cap is likely to explode again because streaming numbers are about to start to be counted. If you watch it on a stream, it will now be counted in a way that it has not been before. And all these new revenue streams are coming in as well, and Netflix might get in on the bidding. 2029, the league can opt out of its broadcast deals and get brand new ones. And what will happen? They will get unbelievable amounts of money. And Coleman's point is that GMs should plan for this. And especially, is where I'll add, GMs that feel safe should do this. That feel like they're stable with a quarterback and with a coach. Coleman wrote, if I'm a GM next year, maybe even this year, I can sign outrageously backloaded deals with a ton of funny money that slams home in 2030 and not even care about the math. And then he wrote about the Eagles and said, if I did my math right, the Eagles have about $216 million of dead cap from void years that hits in 2029, and that is from four contracts. Four contracts. That's Devontae Smith, Jalen Hurts, Jordan Mailata, and Landon Dickerson. Those four deals, the Eagles will have $216 million in dead cap all at once in 2029. And another $53 million in dead cap from A.J. Brown in 2030. So you're up to $269 million in dead cap on five contracts. And he says, basically, what the Eagles are probably planning to do is the cap will go up by then, what, $100 million more?
Yeah.
That if you are forecasting, you're Bean, you're the Bills, you need your owner to do this. You need your owner to pay the money because it all has to go into escrow, right? If you're going to sign a contract for a guy for crazy money. Anyway, as Coleman's doing this, Joe, this is him laying out how they are going to get Miles Garrett.
The Eagles are going to get Miles Garrett.
Says, Jeffrey Lurie sold 8% of the team a couple months ago to get $650 million in cash. Did the Bills just do that?
Yes, they did.
Yes, they did. Mm-hmm. Sold this, a part of the team. Just here's a check for more money. Says other revenues come in, $700 to $800 million that just come in from team revenue and league revenue share. He writes, that's more than enough liquid to get Myles Garrett on a league minimum salary and just pay him in option bonuses to keep cap hits low until the heat death of the universe. Basically, yeah. Buy a championship is kind of... I saw some accusing the Eagles of that. The Eagles have two top 10 receiver salaries, a top 5 quarterback salary, top 5 running back salary, top 5 tight end salary, expensive offensive line. If they bring back all these free agents on defense, if they want to, these top 3 guys, just backload those deals. It's guaranteed money for these players.
Yep.
The Bills should not be operating like they are on some tight budget. They are one of the teams over the cap right now. But again, the cap exists where just extend everybody and put the money in 2030.
Right. Because they have led the league in past years. Was it 2 years ago? And maybe even there was another year where they were number one in the league in like cash spent. But this year, I think they were like sixth or seventh. And while you were talking there, I just went through, looked at SpotTrack has like a multi-year tracker. So you can look at how much cash each, not cap, how much cash is each team spending year to year to year all the way through 2030. And you do see the Eagles jump out. Like 2028, for instance, how much cash are they on the hook for right now that they're going to spend?
In 2028.
The Eagles are going to spend $127 million in 2028 already.
So that the thing about that is it's key. That money is already out of the owner's pocket.
Right.
The checks have been written.
Right. The Bills in 2028, it's $54 million. So it's less than half.
And how much of that is Josh?
And Josh might be like all of it. I could actually tell you in a moment here. But like there are only a couple of teams. Is there only two others that are due, like, in terms of that number? Like, who's got money backloaded a lot? Like, years down the road. The other two teams that I'm seeing that have huge numbers like that is Dallas and Detroit. Those two teams, same thing. Like, they've got a ton of money,
yeah,
that they cash that they are on the hook for in those years. And the Bills are not really, maybe their deals are just not designed the same way. I mean, you compare Allen and Hurts, for instance, and yeah, like Hurts never has, this is the same thing with a Garrett, if he never got a thing. Hurts never has a base salary more than $1.5 million in his whole contract. That's his highest base salary, is 1.4 in 2028. And everything else is like signing bonuses and then those void years at the end. Allen, like this year, what's his salary? $14 million. What's it next year? $22 million. $14 million, $10 million, and it's been big salary numbers before. So whatever it is, like the way the Bills are designing contracts, at least Allen's contract is far different than what the Eagles have done. And if they're buying a championship and there's a way to do that, then everybody should be doing that. Everybody that, well, what do you need then? You need an owner that's ready to pay money up front like that. And because the Bills just sold 10%, maybe you might think that they're more willing and able to do that versus, like, I would never expect the Raiders to be a team that would do that.
Right.
Or the Bengals, you know, but the Raiders especially. Like, those are just teams and owners I don't expect to have the liquid capital up front ready to do what, like, the Eagles have done.
Well, the thing about who would do it, you might not be an owner that loves to do it all the time. When you are on the doorstep of the Super Bowl, it's time to do it. Do you really want to win it?
Right.
This is where ownership commitment comes in. And I don't think that the owners have been cheap by any stretch, but it's just...
No, like I said, they've led the league in,
yes,
cash spending.
Yeah, right. Yeah. This just comes down to more. You're on the doorstep. How do you want to put together the best team ever, or do you want to put together, you know, a chemistry experiment? He's 29 years old, third oldest quarterback in the AFC. Granted, there will be older ones when, like, Rodgers and Russell Wilson land in their spots or whoever goes wherever.
If they do, it's possible that he's the third oldest by week one.
It is possible. But the larger point is that quote from Bean, like, I don't, next time we talk to him, I don't want to hear that again. I'm not going to get into a spot where I got to tear it down. What if it got you a Super Bowl? Thanks for doing it. The job is not avoiding a teardown. The job is building something great as best you can. And I do want to say,
You should pull out all the stops. You should cut the brakes. It should be everything you can do. If the owner's willing to commit this way and the GM's just, you know, don't spend the money on bad signings, but if you can add three huge pieces to your defense or whatever it is, just you should be swimming in those waters. The Eagles are swimming in those waters. They made two Super Bowls in the last 4 years. They have a Super Bowl win, and I mean, I don't know if they're going to be a dynasty, but they have the best roster in football, and part of the reason they're able to do it is because the way that they do their contracts. And betting that dead cap money in the future just won't be that big of a problem. And that's probably a good bet. Yeah. So I'm kind of obsessed with this idea right now. And I don't want to hear about being responsible at this spot. I understand the Bills are already in a spot where they have to still do more work to get under the cap.
Yeah.
The teams that are over the cap, it's not exactly a good group to be a part of. It's the Bills, the Browns, the Saints, and the Falcons. And those other three teams are not thought of as cagey, smart teams with money.
Well, and the other difference there is, like, this is only one of the levers the Bills have to pull. This is why I think they're seen as having more flexibility than those teams. What's one big piece of your flexibility? You're sure your quarterback's going to be around for a long time. You know you're going forward with the same quarterback. So what can you do? I can throw his money down the road. If you're the Browns, I don't want to do that. I'm not throwing Deshaun Watson money down the road so that I have to keep him longer. If I'm the Saints, I'm not pulling a lever to restructure Derek Carr's contract because that means Derek Carr's probably got to be in New Orleans longer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I'm trying to move on from guys quicker, Atlanta, same thing. You're not doing that with Kirk Cousins. So when you have the franchise quarterback, I think that is a little bit easier. This would be a question maybe for like Mike Gennetti too, or another cap guy. I don't know. Like, what is the consequence of what the Eagles have done with Hurts? Like, when that contract gets to that point, when he's 30 years old,
yep,
and it's 2028, 2029, and he's got that massive number and all those void years after, like, what can they then do? Like, do they have a harder time, like, extending him or restructuring? Like, is there a consequence to what they've done versus what the Bills have done? Because I wonder if the Eagles might say, If it's tough for us to keep Jalen Hurts when he's 31 years old, like, that's the cost of doing business, whereas a team like the Bills or the Chiefs would never in their right mind do that.
Right. Dead cap, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, but isn't dead cap effectively like luxury tax?
Sure, yeah. Okay.
Because,
yeah.
If
luxury tax, like NBA, baseball, you go over the salary cap, you just have to spend.
Right.
You have to give the league 50% more.
Is that not what the NFL really does here? The Eagles can have this incredible roster. You're asking, like, Hurts is going to get that money. When there's a $53 million dead cap hit, you're not paying that money. You've already paid it.
Mm-hmm.
It's just now it goes on your books.
Right.
So, all right, let's just play the game. If the salary cap right now is $280, if you could know, this is what Brett Coleman is kind of getting into, and apologies if this is a little too in the weeds on the money side of it, but I'm trying to set the table for, forget it. Go get everybody. Go sign the Monstars. If I told you, listen, the Bills are going to trade for Garrett and sign him, and the dead cap hit on this is going to be $70 million in 2030. Wow, that's terrible. But the cap will be $550. Oh, okay. That's
right.
Not that bad anymore. I'm still going to have draft picks. I'm always going to have draft picks providing me free, well, not free, but very cheap labor. So you can't get me to worry about the cap in 2030. And I can't imagine that Brandon Bean should ever worry about the cap in 2030. It is 2025. If we get to 2029 and 2030 and you have not made a Super Bowl, but you are able to say we never had to strip it down, congratulations. Hang the banner.
Yeah.
That's not what this should be about. You are doorstep. He says we're going to keep, you know, trying to kick down the door. Okay. Go buy the most expensive boots. Lots of pairs of them. Get friends. Smash through the door. Financially, a commitment to do it. And going all the way in. Void years, everything. Get stupid with it. Oh, wow. Guys, I'm telling you, in 2030, I don't know if the Bills can field the roster. All right. Let's see it. 803-0550.
To wrap on this real quick, the one thing I was wondering while you were just talking is, does it have to be that it's going to grow forever?
Like, is there a lid? Like, it doesn't seem to be right now, but this is why they're trying international expansion and stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, they're trying to find more economic growth in other places. What's the lid on it? But I kind of want to trust, like, Brett Coleman broke this down, right? Who's the guy that might know it's the Eagles owner because he comes from that area, right? Like, TV contracts, yep, and whatnot. So the guy that maybe would be an expert on this, like, he's acting as though he thinks there is no lid.
Even if there is a lid, let's say it got to $500 million and just steadied from there. Okay. Like, what's going to happen?
Right.
Josh Allen in his age 34 season might go 7-10. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I think Josh Allen would sign up for that. Everything it takes, everything you've got. Get a break in 803-0550 and 1-888-552-550. Sorry for the numbers heavy stuff, but I think it's about how much the Bills have to go now. It's go, go, go. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Had a very weird thing happen. We got to go back to break in a moment. I'm going to tell you what I'm dealing with. I've been logged out of one of my email accounts for like a month and not really thought about it because it's an old account, like an old AOL account. And today I finally put the password in, like, oh yeah, whatever, fine. And the thing that happened to me, Joe, is now the icon over my email says 1,735 or something. And I'm the kind of person that cannot stand. I cannot go another minute. I've been over here furiously deleting and making sure they're all, nothing important.
Oh, I am.
You cannot put a badge, any number on any app on my phone. I will delete the app before I let that number survive.
I am total opposite of you. Like, if I open my phone right now.
You're going to show me a million emails and texts?
Here you go. You're saying the number on your text message app is what? Zero?
I'm saying you will never see a notification.
You'll never see it.
You will not ever see a notification on my screen.
So you would hate my phone.
This is horrible. It is horrible.
80.
80 texts?
80 texts, 22 calls, 13 sleeper notifications. I got some fantasy trades in there. 6 Instagram, 1 on settings.
How could you have 80 texts?
16 calendar.
What, you just haven't read them?
Owen just informed me he has 207.
There you go,
baby. That's insane.
Organized chaos.
That is insane.
What?
I mean, I've got 287 on my email. I know I've got over 1,000 in my work email.
I don't understand.
Organized chaos.
No idea.
I mean, most of them are just group chats that, like, run out of control from, like, 10 years ago that you don't even update.
All right. 803-0550.
There you go. I hit the Venmo text notifications app, and 30 of them just went away. There you go. Now I'm down to 50.
Congratulations. Jeremy and Joe on WGR.